Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 27. This is what it says. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good, and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sosthenes, my kinsman. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is close to me and to the whole church, greets you. Gracchus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's message is titled, Paul's Final Appeal to the Church at Rome, Avoid False Teachers. Esther?
Thank you, Charlie.
Good morning!
It is indeed a good morning because God is victorious over all evil. And we have arrived at the last passage in the book of Romans. As Paul concludes this letter, which is the very word of God, he leaves us with both a warning and a blessing. His warning is very strong. There are false teachers that have crept into the fellowship of the church. Their teachings are contradictory to what Paul has been teaching and what has been taught by Jesus and the other apostles. How are Christians to handle these false teachers? Are we to evangelize to them? Try to share the gospel with them so that they might come to true faith? Are we to debate them? Get together in public places and speak back and forth and see what they have to say and weigh it against Scripture? No. Paul says that we are to avoid them, to stay away from them. This sermon begins a five-part sermon series on these false teachers that Paul mentions here at the end of Romans. We will look today at them generally from this text, and then look in four sermons at four types of false teachers that are clearly identified in the Word of God. We will see how Jesus and the apostles identify and address them and their teachings. So let us pray and look at what Paul has to say as we conclude our study of the book of Romans, the Word of God. Dear Lord, Father, this is a lengthy book. Father, it has taken us a year to teach through the book of Romans, to study it together, to learn about it. Father, there's many things we have learned, many truths that we have both learned and also been reminded of, reinforced in our hearts that we may have already been aware of, Father, but that we saw in a new light as we studied through this book, Father. So Paul comes to the end of this lengthy letter. He wrote the whole thing intending that not only would the church at Rome be able to read it and learn from it, but also that it might be placed with the other holy scriptures in the complete Bible, Father. He knew that the Bible would soon be complete and that this book would be included in the scripture, Father. It is a word from God. So at the end of the book, when thinking about what to say, Father, how to conclude his message, he thought of these false teachers, Father, that contradict the teachings that he himself made in this book and in the New Testament. Oh, totally, Father. And he wanted to warn us, Father, the church, about these false teachers and wanted us to avoid them and stay away from them, Father. Help us to know both in this message, as we look at what Paul had to say, and in this five-part sermon series, Father, to know these types of false teaching, and to know these false teachers, and to see what you, Father, say in your word about them, and how we are to address them in the church. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Romans 16:17 begins. I appeal to you, so there's a final appeal here, one last thing he's asking us to listen to. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine. Doctrine just means teaching. It's a word to say the teaching that you have been taught. Point number one. Paul closes his letter to the Romans by appealing to the Christians at Rome to watch out for certain people. These people were causing division in the church and creating obstacles. These obstacles were not just simply divisive, but were teachings that were in contradiction to what Jesus and the apostles had taught them in the Word of God. Point number one. Paul closes his letter to the Romans by appealing to the Christians at Rome to watch out for certain people. These people were causing division in the church and creating obstacles. These obstacles were not just simply divisive, but were teachings that were in contradiction to what Jesus and the apostles had taught them in the Word of God. So there were these teachings, these doctrines, that were being taught by false teachers that were contradictory, they were contrary to what had been taught to the church by Jesus and the apostles in the Word of God. So these were not simply disagreements that people had with a certain idea that may be in the scripture. You know, the mode of baptism, for instance, you know, that was not totally clear to some people. These were not Romans 14 issues where we could disagree. These were essential teachings that were at the center of the gospel message. And these false teachers were teaching contrary to the true gospel. Their teachings interfered with the ability of people to believe or trust in Jesus Christ, to the point where people who had never been saved but were professing Christians were falling away from the teachings of the apostles and Jesus, and eventually ending up condemned forever in hell. What was at stake was the eternal salvation of many people who would hear these false teachings, follow after them, and then ignore the true gospel and never be saved. We know from the book of Romans that God elects and chooses everyone who will be saved. So everyone that God elects will come to faith in Jesus and will not fall away. But we are not what people call fatalists. We don't just believe that because God is choosing people, that there's no point to sharing the gospel, no point to them hearing the truth, and no point to pleading with them to believe. Because we don't know who God has chosen. And ultimately, these false teachings, if they lead people away, people not in our ministries might have come to faith in Jesus, will never come to faith because of these false teachers. That's how we are to view the message of the gospel and the ultimate salvation of the people that we share the gospel with. We don't assume that just because God has a group of people who are already going to be saved, that we can have no influence on bringing people to faith in the true gospel. Rather, we are to care and love them by making sure that they are hearing the true message, and thus we need to avoid these false teachers. Romans 16, 17, the end of it, says, avoid them. Avoid these false teachers. Point number two. Paul gives a strong warning and a command regarding these false teachers. Avoid them. Point number two. Paul gives a strong warning and a command regarding these false teachers. Avoid them. So how do we know what people to avoid? The Word of God can help us identify these false teachers. The command to avoid false teachers gives us a principle of separation from anyone who is teaching something which contradicts the teaching of Jesus and the apostles. We are to stay away from them. You could also translate those words, avoid them, stay away from them. These false teachers that Paul warns about all teach things which contradict the true gospel and promote a false gospel in its place. Jesus gives us an important lesson to start us on the path to knowing who these people are in Matthew 7, 15 through 20, which is on the back of your sheet. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. He's saying you're going to know them by the fruit that they have. What they teach will be contradictory. This will be the fruit. And their lives will not reflect the holiness which God calls teachers to have. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. So the false teaching will result in bad fruit in the lives of those who follow them. It will result in bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. This fire is eternal judgment. If there's not good fruit coming from these prophets, from these teachers, then them the teachers, and their followers will ultimately end up in eternal hell. He says, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Point number three. Jesus warns that these false teachers that Paul refers to in Romans will come under the guise of Christian teaching. But in their hearts, they are ravenous wolves. He says that we can identify them by their fruits. Even though at first they seem harmless, in sheep's clothing, as Jesus says, the fruit or result of their teaching will lead people away from the true gospel and into eternal destruction. Point number three. Jesus warns that these false teachers that Paul refers to in the book of Romans will come under the guise of Christian teaching. Sheep's clothing, they're coming under Christian teaching. But in their hearts, they are ravenous wolves. He says that we can identify them by the fruits. Even though at first they seem harmless, the fruit or result of their teaching will lead people away from the true gospel and into eternal destruction. That is why Jesus warns us to beware of them, why Paul tells us to stay away from them, because their teachings will lead people away from the gospel and into hell, ultimately. Romans 16:18. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. Point number four. Paul warns that these people he is saying to avoid are people that do not serve the Lord Christ. The reason he says that is that there are people who these false teachers are people who claim to be Christian teachers. Many of the people, these people, will not just falsely claim that they are Christians when they are not, but as Paul just mentioned, they are teaching things which contradict the Word of God. They do not serve Jesus, even though they claim to, but instead serve their own sinful desires. Point number four. Paul warns that these people he is saying to avoid are people that do not serve the Lord Christ. The reason he says that is that these people who claim, these are people who claim to be Christian teachers. They claim to come in Christ's name. Many of these people will not just falsely claim that they are Christians when they are not, but as Paul just mentioned, they are teaching things which contradict the Word of God. They do not serve Jesus, even though they claim to, but instead serve their own sinful desires. Romans 16:18 goes on, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Point number five. However, the people Paul is warning about are popular, sometimes very popular, and can be very hard to identify. They are smooth talkers, he warns, and deceive many people. The people they deceive are naive, Paul says, about the false teachings that these people are spreading and how dangerous they are to them. Point number five. However, the people Paul is warning about are popular and can be very hard to identify. They are smooth talkers, he warns, and deceive many people. The people they deceive are naive, Paul says, about the false teachings that these people are spreading and how dangerous they are to them. Even as many Christians identify these false teachers that we are going to talk about, they do not take them as seriously as the Word of God does. Even before studying for this series on false teachers, I will tell you, I did not have the full impact of how seriously the Word of God takes these false teachers. Jesus and the apostles treated these false teachers as serious threats to the gospel and serious threats to the church. The Word of God often expresses intense, righteous anger against these false teachers. God expresses deep mourning for those affected by their teaching. God often uses extreme language to describe their teachings and character. In His Word, God directs us to be deeply concerned about the effects of these false teachers on the integrity of our faith and the spread of the gospel. Oftentimes, what at stake is the eternal destination of those who listen to these false teachers. So do not be naive to the danger of them and their teaching. Paul says in Romans 16:19, he wanted to give them an encouragement in the midst of what he's saying. For your obedience is known to all, he says to the Christians of Rome, so that I rejoice over you. Point number 6. Paul says that the obedience of the Roman people he is writing to is known to everyone, and that he rejoices over them because of their obedience. But even though they are very obedient to God, he still needs to warn them about these dangerous false teachers. Being obedient to Christ does not always protect us against false teaching. Point number 6. Paul says that the obedience of the Roman people he is writing to is known to everyone, and that he rejoices over them because of their obedience. But even though they are very obedient to God, he still needs to warn them about these dangerous false teachers. Being obedient to Christ does not always protect us against false teaching. So someone might say, I'm obedient. I'm knowledgeable of Scripture. I've been a Christian for a long time, so I do not need to worry about false teachers. Paul is clearly saying that every Christian needs to be concerned about avoiding false teachers for their sake and the sake of others in their life. Romans 16:19, he says, but I want you to be wise to what is good. Meaning he wants you to know the truth and be wise to it and know what it says and know how that truth impacts your own heart and your own life. And innocent as to what is evil, he says. Point number 7. God wants us to be wise to what is good and innocent to what is evil. Although Paul says he wants us to be innocent to what is evil, he does not mean that we should not have knowledge of what is evil so that we can protect ourselves and others, but instead that we should not have any experience of the effects of believing and interacting with these false teachers. As he says, true Christians must avoid them. verse 7. God wants us to be wise to what is good and innocent to what is evil. Although Paul says that he wants us to be innocent to what is evil, he does not mean that we should not have knowledge of what is evil so that we can protect ourselves and others, but that we should not have any experience of the effects of believing and interacting with these false teachers. As he says, true Christians must avoid them. The knowledge of what is evil that we need as Christians comes from the Word of God. The Word of God actually warns us often about false teachings and tells us what is the difference between these false teachings and the true teachings, the difference between these false gospels and the true gospel. We will see in the coming weeks, when I come back in 2 weeks, we will have all 4 sermons. We will see that the Word of God does in fact define many different types of false teaching and the false teachers and tells us what to do with the teaching and what is the truth. I hope this will be beneficial for all of us, as it has already been beneficial to me in preparing for this sermon series. Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Notice, it does not say the God of peace will soon crush Satan under his feet. It says he will crush Satan under our feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Point number 8. Most often when we think of peace, we do not think of violence done for the sake of peace. But in the case of these false teachers, they represent Satan, and the only way that the God of peace will deal with these false teachers is to crush them under our feet. Paul prays that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will keep his people away from these false teachers. Point number 8. Most often when we think of peace, we do not think of violence done for the sake of peace. But in the case of these false teachers, they represent Satan. And the only way that the God of peace will deal with these false teachers is to crush them under our feet. Paul prays that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will keep his people away from these false teachers. So is the scripture proposing that we're physically violent against these false teachers and the people that believe in their teachings? Obviously not. The scripture never tells us to commit physical violence against other people. But there is a spiritual violence, an intense hatred of these false teachings and those who teach them that will crush spiritually the Satan, who is the Lord of these false teachers, under our feet. Earlier in Romans, we heard about how beautiful are the feet who carry the gospel to the nations. The feet were the ones that carried the true gospel, the true message of the gospel. So as we carry the message of the true gospel and avoid the false gospel, Satan's false gospel will be crushed under our feet as we communicate the true gospel to people who may be deceived by these false teachings. Now Paul closes the letter with a few closing thoughts. Romans 16:21-23. Timothy, My fellow worker greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. Point number 9. Earlier, Paul sent his love and affection to the people of Rome. Here, at the end of his letter, Paul sends the love and affection of the people who are with him to those in Rome. Notably, Paul allows the brother who recorded his words on the scroll, Tertius, to inscribe his own greeting. The scribe who wrote down the words for the writer of a letter in their society was called an amanuensis. Point number 9. Earlier, Paul sent his love and affection to the people of Rome. Here, at the end of his letter, Paul sends the love and affection of the people with him to those in Rome. Notably, Paul allows the brother who recorded his words on the scroll, Tertius, to inscribe his own greeting. The scribe who wrote down the words for the writer of the letter in their society was called an amanuensis. So even though the words of Romans, every last word, in addition to being God's word, are the words of the Apostle Paul, someone else, Tertius, scribed it down for the Apostle Paul. So if Paul's letter or letters sometimes sound like preaching, it's because he did indeed preach it. He spoke the words of the letter, and Tertius, in the case of the letter to the Romans, recorded his words as the letter was written. Tertius was an amanuensis, someone that would record the words of the letter for the writer of the letter. Romans 16:25. It gives us a doxology, which is words of praise to God. Also, he gives it so that he can bless us. This is the ending of Romans. We're done. This is the last few verses. This is it. Now to him who is God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel. Note, it's Paul's gospel. It's not just Jesus' gospel. It's not just God's gospel. It's also Paul's gospel, and it is our gospel as believers. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. Point number 10. Paul closes the letter with a doxology, a praise to God, and a blessing to the reader of this letter. God is able to strengthen us through the gospel that Paul communicated in this letter, and also the preaching of Jesus Christ. This strengthening happens through the revelation of something that was not known before, but is now revealed in Jesus Christ. This mystery was kept secret by God for a very long time, even though it was hinted at in the Old Testament writings. Point number 10. Paul closes the letter with a doxology, a praise to God, and a blessing to the reader of this letter. God is able to strengthen us through the gospel that Paul communicated in this letter, and also in the preaching of Jesus Christ. This strengthening happens through the revelation of something that was not known before, but is now revealed in Jesus Christ. This mystery was kept secret by God for a very long time, even though it was hinted at in the Old Testament writings. When we usually think of the word mystery, we usually think of something we do not know. It's a mystery. We don't know it. That is not how the New Testament uses the word mystery. A mystery in the New Testament is something that was hidden before, people didn't know it then, but now has been revealed to us. This mystery revealed to us now. This mystery. What is this mystery? The gospel of Jesus Christ. So what is this gospel that Paul mentions again at the end of his letter? This mystery, what is it he was communicating? And you've learned from Jerry Bridges at this point in chapter 3 that this mystery, this gospel, is not just so that people can initially be saved. This gospel is for all of us every day. Listen to the gospel. Apply it to your hearts. You are sinners. I am a sinner. We have broken God's law. And the punishment for that is eternal hell. He is an infinite God, and the punishment is an infinite punishment. And without salvation, without something changing, we would be destined for eternal hell. That is bad news. But God wanted to give us an escape, a way out of hell. So he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who is God himself. And Jesus, as a man, lived a perfect, holy, righteous life. He never once sinned, not even once. He was perfect, both because he was God and because he was perfect in every way. We, through trust in him, through believing in him, through faith in him, can receive his righteous life, his righteousness, as our own. God, through this faith in Jesus, imputes it to us, or credits it to us, or gives it to us as our own, and we have his righteousness. But he didn't stop there, because there was still a punishment that needed to be dealt with. So Jesus Christ, perfect man that he is, perfect God that he is, went to the cross, and he took the eternal punishment that we deserve if we're trusting in him. And he took it upon himself, the wrath of God, the hell, on himself, on the cross, so that when we trust in him, he receives our sin and takes the punishment for it. God imputes or gives or credits our sin to him when we trust in him, when we have belief or faith in him. And then he died from the sheer weight of it, dying to take our punishment. But that wasn't the end. We have his righteousness, he has our sin, but there needed to still be something more. So, Jesus Christ took up his own life again. God rose him from the dead. The Holy Spirit rose him from the dead. So that, through being united with him, through faith, we might rise with him as well onto new spiritual life. And through that new spiritual life, to grow, to be more and more perfect every day, to be like Jesus Christ, to be sanctified, for his righteousness to be imparted to us over time, so that one day soon, when we go to be with Jesus, we will be perfectly like him without sin through the grace that is in him. That is the gospel. That is for all of us. That was for the people at the church at Rome, many of them who were already believers, yet Paul wanted them to hear it again and again. He wanted them to know what Christ had done. The glory of Jesus Christ. We must have his glory. We must love his glory. We must cherish his glory. We must obey him in all the commands that he gives us through the power of the Holy Spirit when we trust in him. And that gospel stands in stark contrast to what these false teachers are teaching. Anything that compromises on the gospel ultimately leads people to eternal damnation. And Paul would not allow that for the people he was trying to reach. Romans 16:26. This mystery has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings have been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. Point number 11. The mystery of the gospel has now been revealed by the New Testament prophets, including Paul and this letter to the Romans, and has been made known to the entire world. Not just the Jewish people, not just Israel, but everyone in the entire world, all nations. This revealing of the gospel has happened to cause the obedience of faith. Paul talks about this obedience of faith at both the beginning and the end of this letter. Faith itself is both in obedience in itself, and also obedience is a result of faith. You see, it works both ways. How do we learn in this letter? God is both the cause of faith and the cause of his people's obedience. Point number 11. The mystery of the gospel has now been revealed by the New Testament prophets, including Paul and this letter to the Romans, and has been made known to the entire world. This revealing of the gospel has happened to cause the obedience of faith. Paul talks about this obedience of faith at both the beginning and the end of this letter. Faith itself is both an obedience in itself, and also obedience is a result of faith. As we learned in this letter, God is both the cause of faith and the cause of his people's obedience. Romans 16:27. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Point number 12. Paul's final dedication is not to the people of Rome or to the people who follow Jesus, but to God himself, who is the source of the only true wisdom, and deserves all glory forever and ever. His ultimate glory comes through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is himself God. Amen. Point number 12. Paul's final dedication is not to the people of Rome or to the people who follow Jesus, but to God himself, who is the source of the only true wisdom and deserves all glory forever and ever. His ultimate glory comes through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is himself God. Amen. Application. I did not put blanks in the application since the sermon is long, and I will only read the application points once. But there's still an issue. Application number one. Do not put the book of Romans away and move on to other things. This book, this letter, has so many essential teachings for the Christian faith that we should continue to regularly review it and learn from the teachings of Christ through the Apostle Paul. Romans is amazing. I love this book. That's why I chose to preach from it first. It's just such a great book. It's the Word of God. It communicates so many wonderful truths. It has the gospel central to everything in the book. So I may be finishing with it for now, and we're going to move on. But don't stop reading this. Don't stop studying it. Don't stop looking at what you've learned from it. Keep your notes. Elaborate on your notes. Make more notes for yourself. Love and cherish this book. It's a wonderful book, and I commend it to you. Keep on reading it. Keep on studying it. Application number two. Let your study of Romans cause in you, through the work of Christ in your hearts, the obedience of faith. Don't just study it. Have faith in it. Have faith in the words of Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul. And don't just have faith as you read these words. Obey them. Have obedience. That's the obedience of faith that Paul wants us to have. Application number three. Take the warnings given by God at the end of this book seriously and be ready to learn how we can identify false teachers and avoid them. That's what we're about to do. Next week will be a guest speaker, my friend, Elder Mike Choi. I commend you, come next week, learn from him. I really know that he's going to give you a great message. Then, 2 weeks from now, I'll come back and we'll start the four sermons on four different types of false teachers. And I pray that through learning what the Bible says about these false teachers and their teachings, we will be able to know how to stay away from them, know how to avoid them. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, what a wonderful place to be at the end of the book of Romans. Father, Paul's last appeal, his last warning, is heavy, though. Heavy about false teaching and false teachers. And it's going to be heavy for the next 5 weeks, Father, when I come back especially. Father, but you want us to feel the weight of this struggle between good and evil, between truth and lies. Father, it's in your word. You've given us warnings. Father, help us to obey you. And help us to reflect on this great book and continue to love it. Father, the book of Romans, in your word, your very word, pointing us to Jesus Christ. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.